If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Welcome to Strictly Business, Variety's weekly podcast featuring conversations with industry leaders about the business of media and entertainment. I'm Cynthia Littleton, co-editor-in-chief of Variety. Today, my guest is Enon Kreiz, chairman and CEO of Mattel. He's the leader of one of the world's biggest toy makers, and he's sitting on a treasure trove of IP in the company's vault. Mattel brands like Hot Wheels, Masters of the Universe, Uno, Fisher-Price, American Girl, and of course, Barbie, haven't been exploited as content as much as other big toy names. Kreiz wants content to become a growth engine in and of itself for Mattel. He knows that a lot of the brands in Mattel's vault have the kind of multi-generational appeal that is catnip to Hollywood. Kreiz came to Mattel in 2018 after a long career in media. He was a key partner of Haim Saban in launching Fox Kids, and he's served as CEO of Endemol and Maker Studios during his travels. In his time at Mattel, Kreiz has won praise from investors for executing a turnaround of the toy maker's fortunes through cost-cutting and focus. During our conversation, he also contrasts the challenges and opportunities in the toy business with the market in the other kind of entertainment business that he knows well. They're both driven by hits, he observes, and both are wildly unpredictable. That's all coming up after the break.
When it comes to ensuring your company has top-notch security practices, things can get complicated fast. Vanta automates compliance for ISO 27001 SOC 2 and more, saving you time and money. Unify your security program management and streamline security reviews with AI-powered security questionnaires. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, FlowHealth, and Cora use Vanta to build trust and improve security in real time. Access Vanta's free suite of resources to scale your governance, risk, and compliance program at vanta.com/special. That's vanta.com/special.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Enon Kreiz, Chairman and CEO of Mattel. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me. It's great to be here, Cynthia.
Ynon, you have a long history. You had a long career in media and entertainment at very high levels, working as a senior manager at Fox at the time of big growth for Fox in the US and overseas. You were the CEO of Endemol at a time when that company was really in need of rehabilitation. And since 2018, you have been the CEO of Mattel, where you have come in and it has also been another turnaround campaign for you. I want to talk about Mattel's core business, but first I would like to start by talking to you at the very high level, coming into the retail toy sector after a long and distinguished career in media and entertainment. Tell me what you found was similar to the way media and entertainment works, and what impressed you about the toy business as being distinct about the toy business in the way that media has so many of its own quirks and quirks and little surprises that it has for people. What stood out to you in when you were getting to know the toy and retail business?
Well, Mattel is one of America's most iconic company, and I've always revered it. I looked at it from outside, being in children's entertainment, and obviously being in the business in general. And Mattel, at the time, when I initially joined the board, just was in need of a turnaround, and I was curious to be part of that that situation. And shortly after I joined the board, I was offered the opportunity to become chairman and CEO. And by that time, I realized that the opportunity for Mattel is to shift from being what the company thought of itself at the time, of being a toy manufacturing company, into being an IP company. And this is really underpinned by the fact that Mattel owns one of the strongest catalog for children and family entertainment franchises in the world. And to me, the opportunity was not only to thrive as a toy company, which is a great business in and of itself, but also to extend what we do into highly accretive business verticals that are driven by big brands, big franchises, and commercialize this incredible portfolio of evergreen franchises outside of the toy aisle. And this was really what attracted me to the company and the opportunity to be part of this journey.
It's interesting because it sounds like walking in the door, you saw IP, you saw the potential for IP, which is the, you know, seemingly the most valuable commodity on earth. And it seems like right there, walking in the door, you were marrying, you were bringing together your experience and knowing how the levers of media and television and entertainment work. Can you give me an example of what were some of the first things you did to realize that strategy?
Yeah, well, our strategy was to really had two parts to it. First is to become a high performing toy company, and there alone, if you can, if you run the company well, there's tremendous opportunity for upside. It's a great business. The toy industry is a great industry. It's a growth industry, and when things work well for toy companies, they thrive and do extremely well. So that was step number one. And then the second part was to start to capture value from our intellectual properties. Barbie, Hot Wheels, Fisher-Price, American Girl, Uno, Masters of the Universe, Thomas the Tank, and I can go on and on and on and just name franchises and brands that have been around for decades, in some cases, three generations. And yet, the company never really participated in other verticals. It never really commercialized its intellectual property outside of the toy aisle. Yes, we did some content, some television content, and different things. But it was mostly designed to sell more toys. What our strategy said that this is the journey we're on, is to participate in other verticals that will be commercially successful in and of themselves, not in order to sell more toys,
but to sell movie tickets and
exactly to
television advertisers.
That's right. That engage consumers, and you know, they're very successful content companies, successful television production companies, successful movie companies, successful digital companies. Ultimately, in the media world, in entertainment, they're all driven by big brands, big IP. And this is what we own, what we bring to the table. And, you know, and the analogy, the closest analogy would be what happened with Marvel, that was a comic book publisher, as we all know. But really what was interesting there is the incredible IP that the company owned. And looking at that analogy, we all know that in success, this can be transformative. And this is what attracted me to the opportunity. And this is the road we're on and making exciting progress on that journey.
Mm-hmm. So you are writing checks. You are financing your own content. You are not partnering on the production side with people, or are you doing a mix of both?
So our approach is to be a capital light. What we bring to the table is the intellectual property, those franchises that are known and have a large built-in fan base. And then we collaborate with the best filmmakers, the best distributors, the best studios out there per project. We, in a sense, play quarterback in that we pass the ball to the best player, the best partner in per genre, per project, per opportunity. And we can really optimize those relationships depending on the type of IP that we are taking out. We do participate creatively. We are producers on our project. We always bring in our expertise and know-how and the understanding of the DNA, the brand purpose, the cultural relevance that made them successful in the beginning. But we are looking to attract the best creators in the world and allow them to reimagine our brands and interpret them through their own lens to create an engaging experience for audiences and consumers, not in order to sell more toys. We don't make movies to sell more toys. We try to make movies that people would want to watch and television content that will be engaging and entertaining. And yes, if things work out, we know what to do with toys, but the mandate is to our creative partners and to our own teams at Mattel Film and Mattel Television is to make great content that people want to watch, not try to sell more toys. And this has been a real, you know, a really important part of our offering and why we believe we've been able to attract, you know, some of the best creators of our generation on the film side and the television side to reimagine our franchises for the big screen, streaming platforms, television, and so forth.
Well, on that note, you know, the route that you are taking with, you know, what's going to be a very high profile Barbie movie is very untraditional. You've got a director, Greta Gerwig, who is, you know, not the kind of director that you would get for a movie that the goal was to sell toys. Let's just say that one of the fastest rising young directors in Hollywood, let alone female directors. Can you talk a little bit more about why you went that approach? Obviously, this is not going to be a Barbie adventure where she ends up at a toy store where everybody buys Barbie thing. Like, can you talk about why this path for this movie?
Our goal was to make just an incredible movie and great. You know, quality experience for consumers. And Robbie Brenner, who runs Mattel Films, is very good at that, also very focused on quality. And we were looking to partner together with Warner Brothers and Margot Robbie, who at that time was already attached to the project, for the best director in the world of this generation that will imagine Barbie in a way that will appeal to consumers of all generation and will be authentic, an authentic representation of Barbie means today. Barbie evolved over the years, and not everyone is aware, but Barbie today is really a flag carrier for diversity and inclusivity and empowering young children, especially girls, but not just girls in that regard. It's really appealing to audiences across the world. And the opportunity was to attract a director, a writer and director in Greta, and Noah Baumbach, her partner as a writer, to create an experience that will be not obvious, not what you would expect, but very impactful, very engaging, and will share her vision for Barbie with audiences all over the world.
Mm-hmm. How on the television side are you producing shows that are aimed at, you know, children, preteens, or are you going for more of an adult audience?
The primary audience is our core consumer, primarily children for Mattel Television. But what we find is that our brands and franchises appeal to audiences that are also older. Given that our brands go back several generations, up to three generations, several decades rather, we find that they appeal to audiences of all ages. A great example is Masters of the Universe, which we have two series on Netflix. There's another movie that we are about to start production on this summer in partnership with Netflix. And this is a great example for one of our intellectual properties that we are reimagining, that we are bringing back after decades where it has not been commercialized, and reimagining it for today's audience, today's consumers. It will be 40 years old this year. Masters of the Universe will be 40 years old this year. And yet it's appealing for children, young audiences who never knew that it existed before, as well as to older demographics that that used to be big fans back in the days.
Have collectible items somewhere in a desk drawer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what was it like as you embarked on this strategy of really elevating your IP? What was the reception from Hollywood when you went to meet with potential partners? Did they understand that this is a moment when, IP with any kind of established brand or built-in audience is again the most precious commodity? But did people understand what you were trying to do, or did it take a little bit of explaining and education to get people to potential partners to understand what you were trying to execute at Mattel?
No, we were actually very pleasantly surprised by the response and reaction. Robbie Brenner has excellent relationship within the creative community. I have my relationship. CAA played a key role also in making introductions and believing in the opportunity as our agent on the film side. And together we very quickly engaged with some of the best filmmakers in town, and got a lot of interest out of the gate. Margot Robbie joined the Barbie project early on, very early. Mm-hmm. Tom Hanks, Akiva Goldsman were very interested in Major Matt Mason. We right. Partner with just some of the best creators almost from the beginning. Think of Pete Farley for Wishbone, or Daniel Kaluuya for Barney, Mark Forrester for Thomas and Friends, Lena Dunham and Lily Collins for Polly Pocket, Vin Diesel for, you know, Rock'em Sock'em Robot. So just to name a few, you get a feel for the type of caliber and the type of talent we attracted. All the major studios were also interested in, and of course, when you bring forward this incredible treasure trove of franchises and intellectual property, it is unique. I mean, what is more unique is that you can ask is how come Mattel never did it before? Because these franchises and brands have always been there. And the answer is that the approach back in the day was to focus more on the toy side of the company. We were thinking more as a toy company. And as soon as we made the shift to thinking of ourselves as an IP company, all these opportunities open up and became very obvious. And today we have 14 movies in development. There are more in motion, you know, that we are working on. We will have this year 13 shows or series and specials, television specials, you know, series and specials on air, so to speak. Some in streaming, some on broadcast television, with 20 in production and over 25 in development. We are not just looking to do that with the big brands that everybody knows. We're also looking at some of the catalog and are really identifying opportunities to reimagine some of these brands into film and television. Some of those IP used to be very successful and we are reviving them, such as Monster High, which is a great franchise that potentially can be even more relevant today than it was when it launched back in the day 10 years ago, which is very much about diversity and inclusivity. And we see that across the board, how our portfolio and intellectual property are really resonating with the creative talent for both film and television in a very exciting way. So it's great to see, and it's a very exciting part of the journey.
Please don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more from Mattel CEO Ynon Kreiz.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
And we're back with more about the booming business of toys and content from Mattel CEO Ynon Kreiz.
As you opened up the vault and showed people, you know, what you had, I have no doubt that you were probably approached by, let's do an overall deal or a first look deal to have some kind of, like, you know, overarching partnership with a studio or major platform. Did you think about that, going that route, or do you prefer to be able to be a free agent?
Yeah, in order to do what we do at scale and to be able to do it in a way that moves fast, we decided to be flexible and pick the right partner per project, per genre, and where different studios specialize in different opportunities, be able to really partner with different players. That gives us the ability not just to partner with the right studio, but also to do things faster, not be constrained or restricted by one studio's release schedule, which inevitably would mean you'd be lucky to launch a movie every 2 years or so.
Right.
In the way we do it, with having multiple projects in development with multiple studios, you can do that. You can have more projects coming out concurrently, do that at scale, where projects are not interrelated. They all run their own course with their own creative partners, and gives us a lot more flexibility and the opportunity to do it faster and at scale with a higher likelihood of success. And the way we do it, in partnering with the best creative talent per project, we are increasing the likelihood of success meaningfully by not concentrating all of these different projects in one place. We believe we dramatically increase the likelihood of success per individual project, and of course the momentum is building, and we're able to attract better, stronger talent all the time. But we're very proud and happy with the momentum we have so far.
Mm-hmm. Again, sounds like experience born of your earlier experience in media and entertainment. Have you articulated any kind of revenue or earnings target for your Mattel Films and Television division? Since it sounds like it's a really significant component of your strategy.
We haven't articulated yet the potential. This is still in motion, and we have been focused on the toy side, where we're being very clear about our goals there in terms of potential growth. On the IP side, this has not yet defined, but clearly we can imagine if you look at the analogy that I mentioned earlier with Marvel or other companies that do exactly doing what we're doing or have done this before, you can see what happens in the event of success. You know, the beauty of our strategy is that it's not new. You know, we're not inventing the wheel to bring great franchises, great IP, into film and television is not our invention. And of course, we all know that when it works, it can be very meaningful. Even our own competitors did that very well. Lego made the movie, mm-hmm. very successful movie out of bricks, mm-hmm. Without characters, and that did that really well. So what we are doing is not a new invention. It is all about execution and all about working with the right people, the right talent, and trust that they will be able to deliver a great product to consumers out there. You know, it is fascinating, that there's a fast and furious pen in production, and Hot Wheels is at zero. Hot Wheels is the number one vehicle mm-hmm. Product toy in the world, has been around for more than 50 years, yet you never made
even
money.
I had those little plastic tracks when I was a kid, and I had those little slot cars.
Of course, you know, Hot Wheels just had its fourth record year in a row, you know, and we've been breaking our own record now for 4 years in a row.
What's driving that? Forgive the pun, but what is fueling that growth?
It's just been really incredible work by our team to make Hot Wheels more relevant, more culturally relevant than ever, and having a clear brand purpose around igniting the challenger spirit in every child. And Hot Wheels is now resonating, really strongly with consumers. And yet this franchise did all of that with no movie, with no real content. So just imagine what happens when we bring it to the market with such a large built-in fan base that would do anything to do with would want anything to do with Hot Wheels if you create an exciting movie for that audience.
Now that you're at Mattel, how does the company make sure that you're spending all of your paid media wisely? How do you look at it now that you're on the other side of that table?
Yes, we have been very deliberate in the way we attract, appeal, and engage consumers. The company evolved very meaningfully in the last few years. Obviously, social is a key part of what we do and how we engage consumers, especially given the target demographic. But the way we do it is we've been very current in how we reach consumers. We have been, you know, we spend obviously a significant amount of money on demand creation, but also what makes our situation very unique is that our brands are so strong and so known that they have their own following and their own inertia of consumer demand and very high awareness. And because of that, we are able to attract people not just for our content offering, but likewise for our direct-to-consumer offering, which typically will need to spend a significant amount of money to create awareness and demand. And here you have a situation where people are actually looking to find product and searching for ways to engage with our brands. So the strength of these franchises is a real asset. And what you need to do as the owner, as a proprietor, is keep those franchises fresh, current, culturally relevant, and in today's world, have a very clear purpose. Because the way we think of what we do, especially given the fact that we sell product for children, is that we take our role as a corporate citizen very seriously. And always look to do the right thing. We aim to contribute to a future that is more diverse, that is more equitable, that is more inclusive, and of course sustainable. So these are aspirations that are part of our purpose. And when we make product, when we sell product, we always have that in mind. And in today's world, this authenticity, this a clear purpose, which for the company is to empower the next generation to explore the wonder of childhood and reach their full potential. When we create product, it's designed to entertain, develop, and inspire children through play. All of this is designed in a very deliberate way to create a real purpose and really a reason why parents, why families, why children will buy and engage with our product.
Given all the circumstances of this past year, did you feel that supply chain pinch? Would you have gotten more product on shelves in the fourth quarter if were it not for other global issues, or were you okay?
No, we were impacted. There was some manufacturing closure that impacted Hot Wheels, for example, in the fourth quarter. There was some retail closure, primarily in Asia Pacific, that impacted Fisher-Price. But on the whole, we still managed to work through these issues and ended up the year with the highest growth rate the company had in decades, in spite of those supply chain issues. And so we were impacted, but still managed to navigate our way and achieve such a strong year for Mattel. As I said, you know, highest growth rate in decades, with being the achieving six consecutive quarters of growth, and continue to grow our market share for the second consecutive year. So it's been a pretty comprehensive year in spite of supply chain. And by the way, inflation as well, that had its own impact. How do you control your cost and how do you manage through those issues? But on the whole, it was a very successful year for Mattel. When we've achieved those results, following several years of restructuring and transformation, we believe the way we see it, we have completed our turnaround and are now in growth mode. and see our product resonating with consumers at level that the company has not seen in years.
Mm-hmm. Is it akin to, like, is it akin when you launch a new product, a high profile new product that you've put a lot of money and muscle behind? Is it akin to having a movie open or a TV show launch? Do you sit there biting your nails, waiting for those first retail reports to come back?
Yes, it's a long lead time. We do a lot of research. We have experts in the company, the best people in the industry that really understand how to engage, how to create product that will resonate and do what it's supposed to do. This is our expertise. This is the confidence we have in our capabilities. You don't always know, and you can't really tell until the project launches. But by the time it hit the shelves, we have a pretty good feeling how this will work. Now, you know, we sell product in more than approximately 490,000 stores globally. Wow. So think about the supply chain system that ends up, putting product on shelf across so many stores. And separately, we also, about over 30% of our business is online retail and e-commerce, mm-hmm. which is another completely different sales channel. But we have to service and cater and collaborate with our customers, with the retailers. And when you make decisions for manufacturing, you need to have a pretty good view and be able to forecast demand to manufacture, to produce, to deliver the right amount of product. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of expertise and capabilities that go into that work and into that process to make the right decisions.
You know, and thank you so much for talking us through. As always, I always find it fascinating to learn a little bit about a business that is just a little apart from media. My last question for you is, tell me, Inan, how did you, what was the path? What sparked your interest in working in media and television early on that led you to the various steps of your career and now to Mattel?
I love pop culture. I enjoy connecting with consumers through content, through media. Throughout my career, I've always worked in creative organizations that with core intellectual property assets and was able to work with creative people, with creative talent, and finding ways to reposition those companies and create new commercial models, new commercial opportunities to drive growth and do exciting things on the business side. So it's really a combination of creative work, working with creative talent, but do it in a commercially viable way that builds exciting businesses. And this is what I've done with Fox Kids, which I co-founded with Chaim Saban, mm-hmm. Who himself, is a visionary and was a great partner. With Endemol, with Maker Studios, which was also pioneer in the short form online video mm-hmm. industry, and of course with Mattel, which is an incredible company, incredible platform, owner of one of the most exciting portfolio of intellectual property for children and family, and an exciting opportunity to not just be successful in a high-performing toy company, but also reach and engage consumers in many other ways, in other forms of content and entertainment to impact children, families, and continue to strive to achieve our purpose.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to leave us a review at Apple Podcasts. We love to hear from listeners. And please go to Variety.com and click on newsletters to subscribe to our free Strictly Business newsletter.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.